Hollywood and blossom into Hollywood. Show him the ways, move into Hollywood, he's hopping into Hollywood. He's on his race, going to Hollywood.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of How Bette Davis Saved My Life. Life lessons from Hollywood and classic Hollywood, I should say. And I am Moya, and I am here with, who are you again, ma'am?
This is Georgia.
Yes, right, Georgia, my partner in crime, who I've dragged along with me. And she was just as crazy as I am to say, let's do this. And you know, as you all guys get to know us, you know, we kind of touched on the story before, but we, like I said, we used to work together and just our love for movies. And Georgia's, without hesitation, because most people have been like, oh, you crazy, I'm not doing it. I was like, we need to do this. Let's, we talk about these movies and we need, and I was a kid, you know, I was like halfway kidding, but I was serious because I didn't think she would say yes. I didn't think you would agree to do it. And she's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And we've been cackling and talking and having a great time with you guys ever since. Georgia, you know, I think, oh my gosh, I think tomorrow, no, today makes a year since we did our first recording. It wasn't our podcast, but I think it was when we first did Skeffington. And Little Foxes, I think it was the 19th. If it wasn't today, yeah. It's tomorrow. I think it was today. It was either yesterday, the 18th, or today.
You're right, it was.
Oh my gosh, where has the time gone?
Happy anniversary.
It's our anniversary. Just you and me. Yeah, girl, that's crazy. We gonna pop some virtual bottles because, you know, we not together. We do this remotely. But we got to pop some virtual bubbles, girl, and celebrate. That's crazy. Where did the time go?
I got some sparkling apple right here.
All I have is some.
My partner in crime.
This is it. That's all I have is some. To you. Y'all can't see us. We're toasting. I have a bottle of water. And she has the bubbles. She has the sparkling apple.
It's an Izzy sparkling apple.
Okay. And Izzy, if anyone from Izzy, all royalty checks can come right to our email. Hit us up on Facebook. And yes, guys, remember we are on Facebook. Remember to like us and follow us at How Bette Davis Saved My Life. We are there. Please, and you know, we're on Spotify and iHeart and Google and Apple, and I'm probably leaving somebody else out. I can't remember, but
iHeartRadio.
Yeah. And something else, I forgot. But we're on all those. So please subscribe and follow us so you can keep up with our zaniness that we love giving to you. So Georgia, please tell our audience, our wonderful audience, what is our movie this week?
Sorry, wrong number.
And so look, in this day of this, yeah, so you still get that message when you call somebody on the cell phone, it doesn't say that anymore. Sorry, wrong number, does it? What does it say?
No, I don't think so.
It says, yeah, because somebody will just pick up. Or like, somebody will pick up. Like, if you text somebody, then they'll text you and say, okay, wrong number. But I think if you call using a cell phone now, like, either it won't go through, or this number's been disconnected or something like that. I don't know what happened. So, audience, let us know what happens when you call or you misdial. Do you get a wrong number message? But I'm with George. I don't think you get that anymore. Wrong number.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Right. But anyway, sorry, wrong number. And tell us, who is our cast?
It's the fabulously talented, iconic actress, Barbara Stanwyck, the one and only, and also Burt Lancaster. So you've got a powerhouse duo. Ooh. Right here that's leading up this movie. And it was directed by Anatole Witvack.
Mm-hmm.
And Edith Head was the person who did the costumes in this movie.
Oh my gosh. And we don't know if anyone's in our audience have seen it. Of course, we highly recommend it. And I just wanted to stop there when you said Edith Head, because I was like, well, Barbara Stanwyck didn't really have, I'm not saying it right, have a lot on. She did have a lot on. But, you know, usually like every scene, the star is a different drip or drag or clothing, as, you know, we say. But, yeah, so I don't want to give. So, George, it's going to be tough not to give this one away, because I think it's okay if we say that Babs is bedridden for the most of this.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So George, you could continue. You were telling us about the cast and the crew. This was powerhouse.
Yeah,
stuff.
And there's also like a very small. There's a part of William Conrad.
Okay. Yeah. The fat man. The fat man and Jake.
And then there's another woman named Ann Richards, not the one that used to be the Texas governor.
Funny. That wouldn't have been something.
I know, right?
Right. So silly. I love George. She'll laugh at most of my jokes, which is makes a great partnership.
That's because you're crazy funny.
So, yeah, we have a really great production staff. And so, you know, George and I, we don't do spoilers, or we try not to. But Burt Lancaster, for those of you, so this is our first Barbara Stanwyck movie, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. We've been chomping at the bit, because after Betty Davis, as far as acting goes, Barbara Stanwyck, it's almost like it's 1A and 2A. And George and I talked about this before, and you know, we have other people on the list, but I would say I trust Barbara Stanwyck. I don't care what she does, is going to be great, and I believe her. You know what I'm saying, Georgia?
Absolutely. She always delivers a powerhouse performance.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen her in so many different kinds of roles.
Right. And this role, for those of you who haven't... Georgia, what year was it?
1948.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe at this time she had divorced Robert Taylor. And honey... and if I'm wrong, guys, correct me. Georgia, correct me too. But I believe, and I'm bringing that up because, again, honey, for those of you who don't know, she and Robert Taylor, you know, the gorgeous Robert Taylor, just a beautiful man. They had been married for a while. And the rumor was, Georgia, I don't know if you knew this, that he was such a freaking mama's boy. Like, there were three people in that marriage. And that's what Barbara Stanwyck said. And him and her and his mother. And she was the main reason why, according to Barbara Stanwyck, why she and Robert Taylor broke up. Excuse me. Shout out to TCM, Robert Osborne, and whoever might have been his guest back in the day brought this up. You notice, after the divorce from her and Robert Taylor, her movies got a little bit more where she was more of the victim, or being persecuted, or she hardened a little bit more in her roles. So after that divorce, and of course I don't know what year it is, but this movie was post that divorce, and other movies after that where she really hardened up. So isn't that interesting that her personal life affected the work she did? I mean, I guess that happens to everybody, but there was a clear line of demarcation.
She has the most fascinating life. Moya, do you mind if I kind of go into...
Oh, no, I love Barbara Stanwyck. Yeah.
Okay. You know, her real name
Ruby.
Was actually Ruby Stevens.
That's right.
And when she was 4 years old, her mother was riding on a streetcar, and this drunk guy accidentally pushed her off, and she was killed.
Two weeks after
her mother's funeral, her father left to go work on the Panama Canal, and he was never seen or heard of since.
Oh.
And so her older sister, Ruth, had to raise her there in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. There's something that where kind of life imitates art here a little bit, but I don't know if you know this, but in 1981, she was the victim of a home invasion. She was robbed. She was badly beaten.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, oh my God. Can you believe it? Yeah. And then her house burned down in 1985.
Oh no.
And along with all of her possessions and a lifetime of memorabilia that she had collected. Oh. So she had her life, man, it was
just tragic, tragic.
It was. She had a very tragic life, but you know, there was such an underpinning of strength
right.
that you're so convinced this woman has.
Right.
And so one of the things, you know, because we're so used to seeing her, you know, play, you know, these strong characters.
Right.
In this movie, she shows that she can be vulnerable.
Right.
At times likable, but then there's times in this movie where you're really rooting for her
mm-hmm.
because she is such an amazingly great actress.
Oh yes. I totally agree with you. And to add to her sadness, I guess she did have a son, I believe, but they were estranged till the day she died. So even that didn't work out. She also had, believe it or not, a horse farm or a stable. I want to say it was like a proper racing stable with one of the Marx brothers, and not the good looking one. I can't remember his name. the one that looked like that was adopted. That one. She and he had a horse stable for pedigrees, and I want to say thoroughbreds, and it was called Marwick. It was a combination of their two names, Marx and Stanwyck. And so I just love Barbara Stanwyck. So we're gonna get into the movie, but so let me tell you how I found out about Barbara Stanwyck. It was way late in life, later in her career, I should say. Honey, who doesn't remember the Thorn Birds in the 80s? Georgia, do you remember that?
Yes! That was the
everybody. That was the talk of the town. The yes. world.
It was scandalous.
It was so scandalous.
It was like in this love affair. Oh my God. Yeah.
And I had never heard of Barbara Stanwyck, you know, because I hadn't gotten into all of the movies. And they showed her, and then I saw Big Valley. So I had to work backwards. And then she was on the Colbys, you know, the Dynasty spinoff, and And so I got into her movies, you know, classic stuff, like way later. And I just was immediately in love. So wait. I'm gonna let you drink that before I tell you this, because I know you're gonna spit it out when so the Thorn Birds, in a scene, it was like one of the first scenes that she had with Richard Chamberlain. And oh girl, we should do that movie. We should do the Thorn Birds. I hope we can find it. For those of you who remember the Thorn Birds, the scene where he is either half naked or damn near naked. So Barbara Stanwyck was saying that they were doing a scene and she couldn't, she didn't say her line. So they had to say cut. And, you know, everybody knew her as being a consummate professional. So the director's like, what happened? You know, why couldn't you say, you know, couldn't say the line? She said, I'm sorry. I was looking at Richard Chamberlain, and it's been so long since I've seen a man like that. I got lost. And she said, and that was the end. Like everybody you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, it was so funny. And I never forgot that. I learned that story years ago. So we should do the Thorn Birds, and guys, find the Thorn Birds, wherever it is. It was a mini series on TV, and it was so delicious. Like Georgia said, it was a priest involved in a love triangle, an older lady and a young, it was wild, man. It was so scandalous. I mean, Roman Catholic Church was condemning the Christian. It was great, though. I mean, I don't know how a man should see that movie, because I was a kid and I shouldn't have been looking at that. But, honey, I saw that movie. I missed. I was going to see that. So, anyway, George, I'm sorry. This is so much about Barbara Stanwyck. You know, we could put that
out
there. So, go ahead. Our movie today.
Okay. Okay, where we left off. Okay, so we know, I'm not going to give anything away, but I just want you to know that we've got this woman who is, like Moya said, bedridden. She finds herself alone, all alone in this house. And she's a wealthy woman. And the story is told through a series of flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the two of them, her husband and her, got together. And it explains a whole lot about, you know, where they are right now. But what happens early on in this movie is this is in the old days for a lot of y'all. Like, if you're older like me, you remember, like, we had to dial telephones.
Right.
Sometimes you'd pick up and there'd be, you know, like, it was a party line. You'd overhear another conversation when you picked up the receiver. Well, that's what happens. She overhears a conversation between two men, and they are talking about, they're plotting to murder a woman. And so in this movie, she becomes desperate and obsessed to find out who the woman is and also to try and prevent the murder. And that is the basic premise for this movie. And I don't want to give away, you know, too much, but there you have it. That's the basic thing. And this is, let me tell you, this is a gripping, riveting movie. It is based on a 20-minute radio broadcast that was heard on Suspense with the same title. It was written by a woman. I believe her name is, I know her last name is, I think it's Louise Fletcher is the woman who wrote it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Lucille Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
She, a woman wrote this story because only a woman could give it this kind of perspective. And even Orson Welles said the movie that was based upon, you know, the old-time radio, because this was such a popular radio presentation, and it was done by the great Agnes Moorehead, and it was so big that they decided to make a movie of it. And Orson Welles said that this movie was the single greatest radio script ever written. Ever done. And so that's how much he thought how well it was. It was one of the top grossing movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wanted to watch a movie in that day and age, they considered this movie, it was shocking in its day. It's still, to this day, I think it's very gripping. It's very riveting. I tell you, I chewed my fingernails. I don't know if you can see my fingernails here. I chewed them down. I was, even though I'd heard the radio broadcast and knew how it was going to end, still, the way Barbara Stanwyck keeps the suspense and her desperation and her terror, the way she does this is just a tour de force performance. And she was nominated for an Academy Award. Now, she didn't get it. She was nominated for 4 Academy Awards in her career, and she never did get the Academy Award.
A tragedy. Travesty.
Yeah, I know. Poor Barbara Stanwyck again.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, but you know, this movie is the one that kind of started it all. You know, the genre of, you have a woman alone in the house, and then there's the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
This is the movie that began the whole thing right here.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you like a movie that ends with a wallop and you kind of like, you know, I mean, this is the movie. But you know, I was mentioning earlier that, you know, we're so used to seeing Barbara Stanwyck play this really strong character in this movie. You know, the way she does it, this is a little bit of trivia here. This takes place, a lot of it is in her bedroom, and it was shot in only 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
But she chose to shoot the scenes in exact chronological order, because that would help her build
terror.
Yeah. It would help her. Mm-hmm. It would be, she felt it would be the most effective way to do that. And she also claimed that filming this character's sustained terror caused her hair to go prematurely gray. She blamed it all on this movie.
What?
She said, this is what,
no way.
Her. Yeah.
No way. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yes. Now, her co-star, Burt Lancaster, and we've shown The Swimmer with Burt Lancaster. Boy and I have done that. Now, no surprise, if you know anything about Burt Lancaster, he was difficult to work with. He clashed with the director, and over how to play the role of Henry. And it got so heated between Burt Lancaster and the director that he threatened to just walk off the movie completely and let somebody else do it. Mm-hmm. However, he stuck with it. They both did. And this movie role paid off for him because previously he was given these movie roles based upon his physical appearance. Mm-hmm. But this movie really showcased his acting and his range. And so based upon how successful he was with this movie part, he was offered and he played more versatile roles as a result of being so convincing in this part.
Right, right. I can see that. I can see that. Especially that psychopath, that cold-bloodedness, because you can see, and Georgia and I hope to do The Sweet Smell of Success, and I've been going on and on and on about this to Georgia, where he plays his him and Tony Curtis, and he plays this New York publicist or something. He writes in a newspaper, and it's based on one of these famous of yesteryear New York paper people that put all the gossip and da da da. But anyway, he was so cold in The Sweet Smell of Success, and I totally agree with you, Georgie. This movie was a springboard to that, and Birdman of Alcatraz, and other stuff like that. He could really play just this cold-blooded dude.
There's a couple of things, you know, that I got out of this movie, you know, that made me just really, you know, when we're talking about, you know, life lessons from classic Hollywood movies, you know, the relationship between the two characters, you know, you have the Barbara Stanwyck character, and her name was Leona Stevens, and then, of course, her husband, Henry. And the way she, you know, it's like she was doing everything wrong, and I wanted to tell her, you can't treat your husband like that and expect to hang on to him. And, you know, she was trying to, like, control everything, and mm-hmm. the more she tried to control him, you could see it's kind of like taking a beach ball and kind of pushing it down underneath the water.
Right.
Because the harder you try and push it, the stronger it tries to come back up. You can see that happening with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's really resisting. He's trying to maintain a modicum of control in his life.
Right.
And she is, and she wants to just, like, keep him in his lane and not let him go outside the lines or anything.
She was so insecure, just extremely insecure.
Very much so, extremely insecure.
And do you know why? Not to cut you off, but I don't think the movie, in my opinion, was clear, because I've seen the movie at least two or maybe three times, but I've always seen it like years apart. And George and I talked about this before. Did he love her? Did she, and Georgia, brilliant point. Did she really love him, or was he a possession? And did you think the movie was clear about that, or do you think the director brilliantly left it up to the audience? What do you think? What was the nature of the relationship? Can you say?
My feeling was that she always, I mean, she was used to getting everything she wanted,
mm-hmm.
and having everything she wanted. And when she saw this other woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the original part of the movie, when you see has this other girlfriend, and it's like she sees him as like she sees her as like a rival,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, no, I have to. So she goes on, and she's even very open the way she admits it. He's going to be mine. And
she bought him. So you think she bought him?
Yes, she mm-hmm. bought him.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. That's the way I see how it was explained in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think she loved him in a way, but it was not...
Right. Not like how it's supposed to be.
It's not the way, you know, a mature, relationship is.
Right.
It's like, you know, like, you have to... You know, you're mine, you belong to me. It was a very possessive kind of a
relationship. Well, do you think he loved her at any point?
There were times throughout the movie where I really didn't think that was... I didn't think he did.
I like not how you're trying to not say it.
Not until the very movie, and I thought, yes, he does really care for her. But to be perfectly honest, I didn't see a lot of. I think he tried, mm-hmm. but I think that she just oppressed him.
Yeah,
so
she
much
just killed him
to overcome that.
Yeah,
it was very hard for him to. But that's my thought anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's what I got. And again, guys, please see this movie. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and I can check and see where else it is. TCM shows it every now and then. But yeah, every time I look at it, I'm like, gosh, did he even like this chick? You know, at any point, did he have any feelings for her? Because I just didn't get it. You know, I didn't get that sense. Now let me ask you this. Let's get deeper. Do you think he hated her? And hate is a strong, let's say, not hate, but certainly resent. Do you think he even resented her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I feel very sure that he resented her. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah, we can go with that one. You know, it's just crazy. And this happens all the time. And that's why, you know, Georgia and I like to, you know, we like to do these movies because, and at some point, I know I keep saying what we're going to do. We're only two human beings, everybody. It's, you know, that's a lot of movies to watch. But Georgia and I want to actually do an episode about how women destroy relationships. And before you go bat crap crazy, you know, yeah, men can destroy a relationship. I mean, duh, you know, that's been done to death. But I just, this type of movie, I think that more women need to look at this and see, you know, am I doing this? Am I sabotaging a relationship? But Georgia, was this relationship doomed from the beginning?
Yes, I think it was, because you need to let a man have, you know, his independence, you know, mm-hmm. and if, you know, it's like, if he, you know, loves you, he will stay with you because he just enjoys, you know, you're two independent, mature people. Mm-hmm. And I think men are attracted to independence. I think men want, you know, somebody who's like also a strong partner like they are. That's
right.
my opinion. And he saw this woman as just being so incredibly needy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that is like a recipe for disaster right there.
Right. Just real quick, guys, it is on CBS All Access, a Prime Video channel. You can buy it on DVD, and it's on Prime Video. That's Amazon. It's on Pluto TV. I think that's free. So rent and buy on Amazon. You can buy the DVD, or you can rent buy on Prime Video. But if you want to see it for free, it looks like it's on Pluto TV and CBS All Access if you have a subscription. So, guys, please, 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 please look at this movie. But back to what you were saying, Georgia, I totally agree with that. You know, look, unless you got some psycho dude, you know, yeah, men, you know, men want women to, you know, nobody wants anyone who's needy. Let's be clear. Women don't want what they call a simp or a cuck, you know, because you said earlier when we, before we started recording, that Lancaster's character, Henry, he was cuckolded by Barbara Stanwyck,
yeah.
Stanwyck's character,
yeah.
Leona. And so, you know, women, we don't want a dude that we can easily look, and please hit me up on Facebook. Hit us up on Facebook if you disagree. Let's have an intelligent, respectful conversation about it. But any woman who is honest with herself, you do not want a man you want to boss around. You want to be respected, and you want to respect him. And nobody wants a needy pushover. I don't care what sex you are. It's not attractive. It's not sexy. So I you perfectly said that, Georgia, that the nature of their relationship. Before we get out of here, because I can't believe it's almost time to go, what else do you think our audience needs to know about this movie?
Well, I think this movie taps into one very primal fear that just about only we women, but all of us women understand and know, we all share. And that is, sometimes you feel like you are pray, and it's a man's world, and you as a woman are very vulnerable, and I think this movie taps into that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you view your home as like, you know, your haven, your one safe place, and in this movie, you know, you know that at some point she feels, I do not feel safe, and I am all alone. And then plus with her having mobility issues, it really ratchets up, you know, the fear factor quite a bit in this movie. And, you know, I myself, you know, I live alone. I have, like, for a lot of years. But I tell you, you know, every once in a while, you know, you hear, like, a strange noise or, you know, whatever. Like, what was that? You know?
Annie, get your gun.
And don't
mess with Georgia, because as we talked about in the previous episode for Paths of Glory, she is a former military vet trained in combat, so don't come for her, because you will get it. Like, so be careful. I want to say, in my opinion, as a woman, obviously, a victim of crime several times, and yes, it was by men, I don't feel the same way you do about being prey as far as men. I take the position that anything can happen to anyone at any time. It doesn't, because there's a lot of men, you know, believe it or not, statistics show men are the biggest victims of violence. Women, obviously, domestic violence. So when you break it down, you know, there are certain portions of society that are more vulnerable. So I kind of disagree with you on that. But the answer to that is the peacemaker, the equalizer. Get your gun, or, you know, if you're not into guns, you know, get yourself defense up, or I don't know what, you know. But I will say this, back to the story. So to your point, Leona felt like a victim or vulnerable, because I think, and I'm inferring this, she didn't know Henry. She just had this image of Henry. He was a thing to her. So you can't trust anything that you have not connected with. You don't really know, and you can't control. And in the story, it showed you that Henry would come home on a schedule. She had him on a schedule. And when homeboy broke that schedule and she could not control, that's when she felt vulnerable. And where's Henry and blah, blah, blah. So now you have made yourself a victim, because you've never trusted this person. You have been like a dictator on this person, and you never had a trust and love relationship. And I would just say that to any male or female, when you're dealing with people in a relationship and you have not connected with them and been honest and vulnerable in a healthy way, you don't know that person. You know, and like that movie, Dirty John, where these women meet these men online and put them right in their lives. Look, you asking for it. And Leona did not know this guy that well, and like Georgia brilliantly brought out, she saw him, she wanted him, she conquered. That's all she cared about, you know. And so you're asking for it when you get yourself in these type of fake ass relationships. I'm just saying, fake, super fake, built on nothing. So like I said, anything can happen to anybody. You know, they got women who kill men. You know, they don't know these women. You know, they see a pretty face. What's the song? Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is poison. That's for our R&B lovers out there, right there. Poison, Belle Biv DeVoe, the 90s. Well, anyway, guys, we are running out of time. I'm going to give Georgia, as always, the last word. Georgia, what do you have to say for us, my dear?
I just wanted to say, this is a fun classic.
It is.
I say, grab yourself a bowl of popcorn. And
hang on.
And don't watch it with all the lights out.
That's funny.
And just enjoy. This is gonna grab you and take you on a ride. It will not let you go until the very end.
Right.
That's what I want to say about this movie.
And Georgia is right. Sit there and don't move. for How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. I'm Moya, and this is the fabulous
Georgia.
And we will see you next time. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, same name, How Bette Davis Saved My Life. We will see you with more life lessons from Classic Hollywood. You guys take care and take us out, Mashaka.
Peace.